This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we look at some key issues that affect UK students, the UK campus, and the Lexington community. Campus Voices is created by Journalism 304 students with the help of the journalism faculty. Please send any questions to news@wrfl.fm.
Welcome to Campus Voices. I'm your host, Maggie Davis. Today we will be talking about international students and the barriers and obstacles they overcome. According to the article Integrating International Students find it hard to adjust to a new environment and integrate socially because of personal and cultural factors. Many international students suffer from emotional and psychological problems stemming from social exclusion, language barriers, and cultural differences. The article also states that sometimes the reason international students feel excluded is because of their own personal reasons for not being able to relate to other students. On the University of Kentucky's campus alone, there are 1,570 international students. WRFL Belle Kendrick reports on one particular international student's challenges throughout college.
The University of Kentucky is home to thousands of international students who come to UK for their 4 years of college. International student from Spain, Inez Elena, gave her perspective on what it was like to come to the United States for college and how she has grown since her first year here.
I'm honestly very happy in how I've grown and my confidence, as I remember my first year here, I was so embarrassed and people would notice my accent.
In Spain, Inez began learning English ever since she was three. As a minority, she went through struggles of adjustment while at UK, but has felt support from her fellow students.
I never thought of being placed as a minority. I actually just felt like so taken care of.
Inez is currently a senior, and because of the support she has gotten from the students, she wants to continue to live in the United States after graduation. For WRFL, I'm Belle Kendrick.
Here now to help us learn more about the everyday obstacles that international students have to come right here at the University of Kentucky, we have Kayoko Hamagata, Dr. Theodore Way, and Elizabeth Liebach. Kayoko is an international student from Tokyo, Japan. She has lived in multiple countries and speaks four different languages. She learned English just 5 years ago and is now a sophomore on the pre-med track. Dr. Ted Way is the director of the Center for English as a Second Language at the University of Kentucky. He has been working in the center for 6 years. He's taught in Canada, the United Kingdom, the Middle East, North Africa, and South Asia. Dr. Way has also earned language proficiency in Spanish, Jordanian, and Moroccan dialect Arabic, French, and Sinhalese. Elizabeth Liebach is the director for the International Student and Scholar Services at the University of Kentucky. She has extensive experience in international admissions and also has a background in advising, immigration law, and international programming. Liebach has a vast amount of knowledge on relationships with international students and can delve into the major problems they may face. Thank you all for being with us here today. Kayoko, we'll start with you. Since you are an international student here at the University of Kentucky, and you've lived in three countries, you have a really interesting perspective. How have you adjusted so far to the culture here at UK, and has it been different than other cultures you've lived in so far?
I think it's definitely been challenging making friends overall. Luckily, I got the opportunity to go through a sorority recruitment and I met a lot of people. But at the same time, I always felt like, are my friends really going to be friends with me? Are they just being friends with me just because I'm an international student? Mm-hmm. But luckily, they showed me a true friendship and what it's like to be a Kentuckian.
Has moving to Lexington and studying at UK been a whole new obstacle for you compared to other places, or have you felt similar cultural between all of the different areas you've lived?
So far, I've lived in Japan, Brazil, and here, Kentucky. But I think college has been definitely the hardest thing I've experienced. Just because I'm taking chemistry, biology at the same time, while they go in a fast track, I have to read the book twice, translate them in Japanese, mm-hmm. and then at the same time getting a private tutor to understand the whole concept and learning how to pronounce things or understanding the concept. So it definitely takes twice the time as normal students. So that's been challenging, but so far I've been having fun.
Good, good. Well, both of you have worked extensively with international students. Do these obstacles line up well with what you've seen, and what's the biggest obstacle you see international students typically facing?
I think linguistically, what you're experiencing is very, very normal for international students. There's the idea of BICS, which we call basic interpersonal communication skills, and CALP, which is cognitive academic language proficiency. And there's a plateau between those two things where students speak English well, but they're not ready to do academic work in English. And that takes really, really hard work. That takes perseverance and dedication. And I think learning a language is a lot of fun at the conversational level, but learning a language at the academic level is a much different beast.
Right. And with your experience with international students, do you find that they've been, they feel inclusive with other students at UK, or do you feel like there's a big divide between international students and American students?
I think it depends on their language proficiency for the most part. As students become more and more proficient, they're able to become more and more interactive with American students.
Right. And like we talked about earlier, and like Kyoko said, there is that difficulty in reading textbooks and just simply learning, like you talked about, the academic aspects
sure.
in English. Does the Center for English as a Second Language, does that really hone in on those specific necessities?
It does. It does. In our higher levels, so we're a 6-level program, so levels 4, 5, and 6 hone in on those academic proficiencies.
Right. Elizabeth Leibach, how do you feel that in your expertise, have you seen students really been able to acclimate at UK? And do you think this language barrier that she talked about has been a major issue?
Language is definitely among the most common, concerns and barriers that international students have. All the other barriers will be more, similar to what you see with all students on campus, academic concerns and concerns of, just being able to acclimate into a new environment. But language would be one of the things I think that differentiates them. But I also see in the beginning stages of a student, especially in the really early days, it's kind of a fear of unknown that becomes a barrier, a fear of not knowing how to do certain things, or just everything is new. Everything is coming at you at 100 miles an hour, and it's all new. So that becomes a little bit of a barrier in the beginning, but I have seen, and it's so exciting to see students start out like that, and by the time they're a senior, and I heard the story of Inez, and, it's just fantastic to see how they come full circle, and they feel that they have made friends, and that they love it here after 4 years of being here. So I do believe that students can acclimate. It just takes time.
Right, Kyoko, I see you shaking your head or nodding your head over there. Do you really agree with everything she said so far? And do you agree that language has been the hardest component, but there are other aspects that are difficult for international students?
I think language has definitely been one of the hardest things, but at the same time, not having my parents with me mm-hmm. is another hard thing. Just because my parents are in China right now, which the time difference is 12 hours. So it's really hard for me to keep in touch with them and tell them what's going on, because I have a feeling they try to understand what's really hard to get a good grade, but at the same time, they're like, you can do it, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just like not having a family support with me 24/7 mm-hmm. is also really hard.
Right. How often are you able to actually see your parents? And do you think that's a normal issue for international students?
I get to see them about twice a year. Next time I get to see them will be Christmas break, which I'm really looking forward to that. But other international students, like my other friends, have been talking about how much we miss their parents, especially their home-cooked meals.
Yes, I think every college student misses that a little bit. So Kyoko, like we were talking about earlier, inclusivity is an issue for international students. Have you felt included in the campus community at UK? And if not, or if that's been an issue at all, what do you think the community needs to do better to make international students feel more welcomed?
I think I feel really included within the college, just because my college is really small and they try really hard to keep students engaged, do a network services with graduate programs, which really I really appreciate that, because as an international student, I don't know what classes to take, what I need to get into those graduate programs, but within the college, they've been helping me with that a lot.
Great. So we've heard about Kyoko's experiences, but there are still plenty of campus and countrywide issues that international students face. The International Center Student and Scholar Service offices are taking strides to improve their services every day. WRFL reporter Charlie Schaefer reports on the mental health concerns that international students sometimes face.
Adjusting to a new country, college campus, culture, and language can be an exhilarating and stressful experience for international students. Doing this while being away from family or a familiar environment makes it even more difficult. According to Addressing the Mental Health Concerns of International Students, a study performed by Sakurako Mori, a Japanese international student and current doctoral student, international students are a diverse and increasing population whose unique concerns are traditionally overlooked. These students are considered to be at greater risk for various psychological problems. It is important that sufficient and readily accessible mental health services be established for them. University staff members and volunteers are doing everything in their power to make this transition easier. Mori discusses why mental health is becoming a more common and serious issue among this population. One of the most common issues with counseling these students is the stigma that goes along with these services. It is imperative that both students and faculty are educated on these issues so as to be as welcoming and understanding as possible. For WRFL, I'm Charlie Schaefer.
Well, like we just heard, for international students, as well as students in general at UK, there is that stigma surrounding mental health and mental health treatment. Have either of you seen that firsthand with the international students you've worked with?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's very, very difficult because you have two major hurdles to accessing mental health services, for our students at least. Both the stigma of mental health services in general, and specifically to the cultures that we deal with, and then also the difficulty of accessing those services in a second language. It's very, very difficult for our students.
Yes, and in our office, we have sometimes done programs to partner with the counseling center to take away some of that stigma, you know, from the students. So if they see these counselors in a different setting, other than in an office at the counseling center, they might be more, you know, get to know them in a different way and see that, you know, it doesn't have to be this scary person. It doesn't have to be this scary thing that you're experiencing by saying what your needs are and opening up about that. So one of the things we do also stress is that the resources at UK are free.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell students, this is the one time in your life when you're going to get these services for free. Take advantage of it now. And I'm actually pretty happy to see cases that I'm aware of where students have told me that they are going to a counselor. And that hasn't always been because our office, you know, recommended it. A friend, another student, often is very powerful to recommend, you know, I did this. There was nothing, you know, strange about it. It was a very good thing for me. So I think the more students hear from other students that this is something that is good, then they will engage with it.
Right. Kyoko, can you talk a little bit about if you think there are those cultural differences in how mental health is perceived at UK and on this culture versus maybe the other cultures you've lived in?
Yes. In Japan, mental issues is considered as a bad thing. So it's really hard to break that stigma and think it's okay to have those issues. It's okay to like be sad sometimes. It's okay to feel anxious. I wish UK gave a little bit of opportunity to those international students telling it's okay, just because I sometimes feel like anxious about it and I'm too scared to go to a counseling just like other students.
Mm-hmm. Right. Ms. Leibach, has having a background in international advising really helped you apply this knowledge, just being able to really meet with students, have these real conversations with them?
Well, my background is actually in communication, so I don't think there's a degree out there for international advising, but I would say the top three things that distinguish the people that work in our office would be that they have a passion for the world. All of them have either traveled abroad, studied abroad, lived abroad, you know, speak other languages. They've either had an experience themselves or they've been exposed, have had international friendships. I know for myself, I really got involved with international affairs through, as a student, just having friendships with other international students as a college student. And that made me kind of seek out more experiences like that. And then eventually I ended up in this field. But most people in our field, they don't have a degree in international advising. It is through their personal experiences and through travel and various other ways that they develop that. So
right. So like you were saying, sometimes it is very beneficial for students who are American students to help bridge that gap with international students. Do you see that happening frequently at UK, or is there still a big gap there?
I'm sure we need to work more on it. We always need to work more on it. But one of the things that we implemented in 2015 is something called the ISLT. It's the International Student Leadership Team. And it's a cross-cultural mix of student leaders that at the beginning of the semester, when we're having orientation, they're actually planning and helping us with the orientation programming. And a lot of the ideas come out of the International Student Leadership Team. And it also includes a U.S. student, someone from here as well. So we try to have a cross-cultural group that really, you know, walks alongside these students and says, you know, I've been there, I know, so I can give you the tips and the insider information that maybe, you know, during orientation, yes, you're hearing this a lot of information, but it's good to have that person or a group of people that you can go to. So that's one of the things that we've done. We also have an academic coordinator in our office that meets with every first-time freshman as soon as within the first 6 to 8 weeks. So that's another new thing that we've implemented. So we're always looking for new ways to just do even more, but those are some of the, you know, things that we've implemented to try to get at and reach out as many, you know, reach out to as many students as we can. We think our undergraduate population right now is served probably, we'd spend the most time on that population. You know, that number that you gave is also a lot of graduate students, more than 1,000 graduate students. But graduate students often get their kind of niche within their own departments. So the undergraduate is really what we've really tried to focus on to make sure. And they're the ones that are, you know, maybe never have, you know, Kyoko's been to three countries, lived in three countries. But of doing this as long as I have, I always ask students, have you ever traveled outside your home country before? Most of them have not. This will be the first experience internationally, will be the time that they come to college. So yeah, that's hard.
Or even outside of your hometown or your home, your home province or county.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's a big adjustment to make that leap. I think they're brave, personally.
I admire our students incredibly. Absolutely.
Right. So going off that idea about those non-international students helping throughout those various programs, especially Coco, you did say that going through sorority recruitment helped you a lot. But if you were to speak to a non-international student, what would you like them to know about how to make you as an international student feel more comfortable on campus?
I think UK offers a lot of clubs other than Greek life. So I think they should just take the big step to be a part of the club and make that tight friendship. Maybe they'll be here for you when you're sad. Maybe you can go get coffee with them. I just think that big step might be the hardest thing you'll ever do, but at the end of the day, it'll be worth it. So I encourage international students to take that big step.
Right, great. So that inclusivity could be a huge help for international students. Something else that is helpful that we've sort of touched on already is the UK Counseling Center. They say that mental health of all students is important to the university, but particularly with those international students who are at more of a risk. Discussing this topic and showing students the action UK has and the steps it is still making to improve the programming will only help in gaining support of the international student community. The goal is for every student to feel welcome and safe, no matter where they come from. WRFL's Belle Kendrick reports.
Mental health is just one of the obstacles that international students must be aware of when coming to UK. Teacher at the Center for English as a Second Language at the University of Kentucky, Lena Crocker, explains the adjustments that international students make.
We have some students that adjust very quickly, but still they have cultural shocks, and they have things are different, like the food is very different, the climate, the weather, everything is difficult. But the most difficult is English. A lot of students have problems with English.
In the Center for English as a Second Language, the instructors help students reach their academic and social goals throughout their years at the university.
The most difficult thing is to find people to speak English with them. And it's hard because they want to make friends immediately, but it's so difficult to make friends.
Lena teaches an orientation for international students where other students can help make them feel included and welcomed at UK.
I have all the American.
So like we just heard, the Center for English as a Second Language prioritizes making UK feel like a home away from home. Kiriko, have you felt that here at UK?
I definitely have. I really enjoy Kentucky. Like, I've made great friends. Education and learning English has been the hardest part, but I will never take this for granted.
Dr. Wei, we talked a lot about the programming that your center offers earlier, but could you touch on a little bit about the process of connecting with those international students? And then do you do a lot of individual work or is it more group oriented?
So it depends on the student. If there are students who feel that they need individual attention, then we definitely try to do that for them. One of the things that we do is work with language tables. So, for example, students, American students who are studying Arabic, will be able to speak Arabic with an Arabic speaker and learn Arabic from them, while our students are learning English from those students, from the American students.
Great. So do you think it's more beneficial to group those international students together rather than necessarily, you know, separating them out into the UK community?
That's a good question. I think it's really important to have heterogeneous and heterolinguistic groups so that students aren't constantly speaking Chinese the moment they stop speaking English, or students aren't constantly speaking Spanish or Arabic the moment they stop speaking English.
Right. So you've worked with a lot of students over the year, I'm sure. But how have you been able to watch these students grow up socially, academically, throughout your work with each student?
It's absolutely incredible. I can't tell you how rewarding it is. I spoke with a student yesterday who arrived here 8 weeks ago, or probably 10 weeks ago at this point, and went from speaking no English at all. He and I spoke only in Arabic, and he speaks English now. It's amazing. I mean, 20 hours a week of language instruction really does work.
Right. Ms. Leibach, we'll go back to you now. Some international students don't know any people when they come to UK, and that's an issue sometimes even for just students coming from out of state. But yep. That cultural difference really comes into play with those international students. How do you think that the resources we have available on campus help with that inclusive process?
Yeah, I think as long as students know about them and are participating in them, there are lots of opportunities for them to engage. The biggest battle is just getting students to take that first step sometimes. So there are a lot of programming that we do in our office geared towards the international students. And of course, any student is invited to any of the programs that we do. But we try to make sure that they are programming that will help with these types of barriers and cultural, social, issues that they may not be as familiar with. So, yeah, I think the resources are there. One of the things we also do stress is that every resource at UK is available to all UK students. And so we also partner with other departments on campus to make sure that they know how to serve our population, because I think everybody wants to serve all students, but they may not know the best ways to do that. So part of it is partnerships. And collaborating on different types of programs.
Right. And like you just said, the first step is often the hardest. Yeah. This inclusive process for international students is tough, especially when they first arrive at UK. But with the help of campus resources like the Center for English as a Second Language, students can all interact with one another. WRFL reporter Charlie Schaefer reports on the demographics.
UK is among the most popular schools for students from outside the United States. In the overall most popular U.S. colleges and universities for international students survey, they are ranked 146th out of 1,300. UK also reports having a total of 1,589 international students on campus, 675 of whom are undergraduates. International students make up about 5.3% of the student body. The countries with the largest on-campus communities are China, India, and South Korea. And over the past 5 years, the international student population has increased at an average rate of 8.7%, with China contributing the most to this number. According to Learning Needs and Adaptation Problems of Foreign Language Students, these students struggle with cultural shock and implementing into society, language barriers, academics, social skills, homesickness, financial and monetary concerns, and so much more. For WRFL, I'm Charlie Schaefer.
So like we just heard, once again, international students do make up a significant portion of the student body. Now, you all have both worked a lot in this aspect, so feel free to both chime in here. But in your opinion, why do you think UK is so popular for international students?
Why not?
Exactly. I mean, I think for my students, at least, and I don't know, and Elizabeth can certainly weigh in on this, but students are really surprised at how calm and nice the city is. I think it's the perfect size for them. I think it's not a coastal city. We will never be able to compete with the coasts, and that's the case. But they're really, really happy. People are really friendly here as well. They love Kentucky, and particularly they love Lexington.
And we have the best basketball team. We have, and if you're a Chinese student, they know UK basketball in China. They know that it's a good basketball team. But also, we can't forget, we have great programs, and there are programs that we have that distinguish us among others. So I think students are looking for great programs, but their parents often are looking for a safe place.
Yep.
So, you know, we're attractive compared to LA and New York City. And even if you're an international student from a large city, which many of them are from large cities in their home country, when they come to the U.S., you know, they often are looking for a safe place, a smaller environment, is more attractive to some students. So it's really about, I mean, we have a niche. It's just about this finding the right students for the niche that we have here. And so we are popular when we find the students that this is what they want.
Absolutely.
Right. And like we talked about, and you all touched on it a little bit, but a large percentage of those international students are from China, India, and South Korea. Why do you think that population of students is so popular, international students coming from the Asia area as compared to the pool maybe from European countries?
Well, we do a survey every year. It's called the Open Doors Survey. So nationally, there's hundreds of universities that report their numbers every year. And the IIE, it's through the Institute of International Education, the IIE report shows that those trends are national trends. So this is not just unique to the University of Kentucky. If you look at any other major university in the U.S., those are going to be the top countries coming from that. But there's a lot of factors, I think, that makes nationally certain countries, you know, more popular for is in terms of the world. And, you know, those trends can be economic, they can be political, it can be access. Some students don't have access as much to higher education in their home country. Other countries, there's a lot of access to higher education. So in European countries, I mean, obviously, you know, there's a lot of access to higher education. So the trends are really shifting, and they are based on a lot of different factors.
Right. So, Kyoko, we've talked a lot about these general factors, but what went into your decision to come all the way to UK?
I knew that UK offered amazing programs, whether if it's a graduate program or an undergraduate program. And I also heard that Kentucky people are really nice, and I realized that they're really nice when I got here. So that was the biggest factor, I guess.
Well, good. I hope you've met plenty of nice people here. Thank you to our experts for their input on the barriers and obstacles that international students overcome. We now have a better idea about their struggles, so we thank you all for that. We would like to thank specifically Kayoko Hamagata, Dr. Ted Way, and Elizabeth Leibach. Thank you for joining us for tonight's Campus Voices. Join us next week when we discuss Keeneland and the upcoming Breeders' Cup. Stay tuned for more commercial-free programming on WRFM. Lexington, Kentucky, I'm Maggie Davis.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.